housing lender.
We're talking politics today. Caffeine, you're on the bench. Xanax, suit up. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I've been watching the commercials for the hearing devices, you know, Sonic Ear. And they suggest on the commercial that one of the great things about Sonic Ear is that you can eavesdrop on other people's conversations. As if that would ever be a good idea. And the example they show is a woman on the beach. She's wearing this. She has her bathing suit on. And she passes two other ladies sitting on beach towels whispering to each other. She looks great. I wish I could have a body like that. Yeah, that's what they said. They didn't invent whispering for compliments. What a wonderful person. Wouldn't want her to hear me. Yeah, get the Sonic Ear and find out all the wonderful things people are whispering about you. If you never want to sleep again.
I haven't played that one in a while. So funny. Brian Regan, the comedian. Just love him. Regan. Brian Regan, I should say. So used to saying Reagan. Well, welcome to Final Hour on a Tuesday, and we expect your calls. We don't just want you to call, we expect you to. 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. Hopefully we can stay on topic and with your phone call, and of course we welcome it. You can find me on The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter, and so I welcome you there too. You can message me. You can also email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. I've got so many great fans out there that actually email into the show quite a bit and tell me about guests and that they'd like to have on the show, and lo and behold, the guest shows up. So that's how quick that can work. So you tell me what you want to hear more of, and I'm all ears. Kate@katedalyradio.com. Easy, easy peasy. Welcome, Uncle Milty, and on this last hour on a Tuesday. By the way, I just want to mention that Congress wants a pay raise.
Oh, they deserve it.
Yeah, they're just not making enough. They're not making enough money. So they just want you to know that even though they don't earn it, and even though they haven't done anything for you to restore your liberty, they haven't done the job that they actually got elected to do. They just want you to know that they deserve more money for it. I'd like to go. I'd like to. Don't you remember going to a boss and telling him that? I know I didn't do the job. Didn't even do it right. Mm-hmm. In fact, I failed at it. I actually worked against your liberty. But I really would really like a pay raise.
Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes.
She said it's not really a pay raise.
Oh.
$4,000. I mean, come on. She says that's just all that is a cost of living increase.
Sure. I mean, you know, pricey apartments there. I mean, come on. Don't you feel bad for them? What do you feel when you hear that? Are you just... I'm always amazed that they have the audacity to keep bringing it up, because they brought it up last year. They brought it up the year before. I mean, they do this every year. And the big statement is in their favor. Well, they haven't had one since 2009. Hey, if they would actually like to do the job they were elected to, I'll bet you the American people would be clamoring to pay them. But they never do. And so they're cited below a gnat on a cockroach's rear end as far as likability. And you know what? The American people... don't even hold their feet to the fire. They do such a horrible job at that, but still they want a pay raise. That's some audacity.
Without the pay raise, they make three times the average American's income.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
And they only work 3 months out of the year.
Don't you feel bad for them? I do. My heart bleeds for them. So, yeah, they surely have the audacity. Now, that on top of the fact that most that go in, and I can say this with a blanket statement, most that go in come out multimillionaires, and I always wonder who their investment firm is.
Yeah.
Is it like some D.C. investment firm that only caters to the congressmen and senators, that they come out with gazillions of dollars based on their investments, but the American people don't? No, I think it's lobbyists. Yep, right back to lobbyists. So they're actually doing just fine. They're doing great. In fact, we should get them to disclose their returns, shouldn't we?
I would think.
I mean, yeah. That's only fair. If you're coming out a multi-gazillionaire, shouldn't you have to prove what you make?
Is there a line on the tax return where you show fraudulent income?
Yeah, money from lobbyists. Should there be a separate tax return for these individuals so they actually have to say bought and paid for by with a lot of lines so they can fill in the blanks? I think so. It's only fair. It's only fair. Yeah, yeah, the audacity. The audacity of our government. Well,
amazing.
There you go.
So, you know, when I was a kid, baseball...
Yeah.
Was the American sport.
I love baseball. Who doesn't?
And then, you know, football was becoming really popular. But I remember when the NFL was all there was.
Oh, yeah.
When it's, you know, so football came along and it took off pretty good. But those were American sports.
Okay.
And then soccer. In the last couple decades, soccer has really come about.
Yeah.
But I look at soccer like it's a globalist sport.
Sure, sure.
It's not, to me, an American sport, and I've never
been
a fan.
Way bigger in other countries, sure.
But the Women's World Cup title defense started today, and they defeated Thailand 13-0. I mean, it's the biggest blowout ever in the tournament's history.
Well, that's huge.
It is huge, and they deserve credit for that, even though it's a globalist sport.
Huh, that's kind of interesting. Yeah. I know my local community, the girls were whining that they weren't getting a Friday night play in basketball. They were all, their games were on Tuesdays, and they decided that they'd whine enough to get their games on Fridays and make boys' varsity basketball games on the other days of the week.
That'll work.
Well, that'll work, because usually it has been that way, because usually... the people don't want to go see girls basketball. And I know it's unfortunate. It's just not the big crowd pleaser, right? But you whine enough in the girl power mode that you can get, you know, you can get a league turned around and put in their place. And so it's going to be kind of interesting. And I know people just hate me for saying it out loud, but it needed to be said that it's, you know, this whole girl power thing is getting interesting. I was watching a golfer, very famous golfer. She's a woman. And she was talking about the fact that the leagues, that the advertisers didn't give her what they gave the guys. And she was blaming the advertisers. And I thought, isn't that funny? You know, really what this dials down to that's not being said is that the advertisers don't give you the same that they do the guys, because it's not as popular as guys golf. I mean, clearly, it just isn't. And so I always find it kind of funny that they'll blame everyone else for the crowd not coming, for the advertisers not being there, when it's clearly because the crowd doesn't come. That's why. Mm-hmm. It's glaringly obvious. But I was listening to this golfer and I was thinking, are you going to state the obvious, or should the people out there tell you what the obvious is? It's not the advertiser's fault. It's the advertisers only want to go where people are.
But isn't it much simpler just to say we need to be equal to men?
Yes.
Yeah.
I always find it kind of this whole thing kind of intriguing, and you're going to see more and more schools catering to that. I think they're afraid to tell the girls, well, that it just isn't as popular. I'm so sorry. How do you I guess they're going to have to hurt some feelings, and I guess there's going to these girls are going to have to figure out that maybe in sports their girl version of the sport just isn't as popular, doesn't please the crowd like say the games, right? By the way, now that we're talking about sports for a second, the game last night, the crowd had to be told not to stop cheering when what's his name went down? Oh gosh, I can't think of his name now. The basketball player went down on an injury, and the crowd started roaring, and had to be told, you know,
you're not allowed to do that.
You're not allowed to cheer. That's bad sportsmanship. I thought that was kind of interesting that the crowd had to be told that. Usually they're not cheering like that. That was kind of odd, but in one of the finals games last night, so for basketball. But
you know, I've never been a basketball fan.
No, that's not what my family kind of revolves around.
Really?
So,
no, never have liked basketball.
Big at our house. Sports has become such a big, huge... it's become our, people worship sports too. I've seen people absolutely worship sports more than anything else in their life. And that's where it gets crazy. Mm-hmm. We all have to kind of check that we're not putting that above everything else. But for some reason, sports has become that. Kind of interesting that you bring that up. I didn't even think we were going to be talking sports today, but we have so much on the docket, those are just a couple of things that hit me in the last couple of days. I just wanted to make you aware. So, kids, you actually wanted to talk about, a case, and this really does, let me just put this out there. Mm-hmm. I was on the Gap website, and on the Gap website, they have two women. A lesbian couple and a little boy who's a transgender, and the shirt said be kind on it. And I was looking at this, and this was their big, story of Pride Month. They have a whole Pride section at the Gap that you can mm-hmm. buy, and all the stores are doing it. They all have a Pride, huge Pride section to celebrate the entire month long Pride celebration, Pride in the LGBT community. And the shirt said, be kind. Are you noticing these shirts everywhere? Be kind, if we're not kind, but
yeah,
be kind. Yeah.
I kind of look at it and think to myself, well, does that mean I'm not allowed to walk up to a little 8-year-old transgender kid and call them names and smack them around anymore?
You're so good at it. I don't want to see that.
How many people are mean to a little kid for any reason?
And how many little kids are really mean to other little kids? I'm not seeing that a lot. I actually see kindness in bending over backwards to make room for people. I see people that can somehow, they can be skewed a little bit. Look at the crowd that cheered when the guy went down. I get it. But I'm talking about be kind on all of these shirts, be nice, these reminders coming out on all the things that we wear. And I kept thinking of this little movement they've got going because it is everywhere. And how do you teach your kid to give and be kind without going overboard? Because I think it's getting a little overboard. It's be kind at all cost. Be kind no matter what. Be kind, which isn't a bad message, but the way that the message is being skewed is acceptance on everything. It doesn't matter what it is, because in your effort to be kind, that's the most important thing. And don't even look at what you're accepting. That's what I have a problem with.
It's more important than your morality.
Yeah,
it's more important than your principles. Yes. It's more important than everything.
Yeah. And so basically it's like, don't stand for anything. The message out there is be kind no matter what. And so when we're teaching our kids to serve or we're teaching our kids, I want to talk about this when we come back, because mm-hmm. you have a story that's kind of interesting on this.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have asked themselves, how do you teach your kids to do this without going overboard or feeding that leftist progressive movement of accept all? We'll be right back.
You've transformed your outdoor space into a custom paradise, but then suffer now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Goodbye, Joe. He gotta go. He on my own. He gotta go for the hero down the bio. Life on street is one. He on my own. Son of a gun, gonna have big fun on the bio. Well, jump a line and hope it's time to get gumbo.
Hi there, welcome back. Is that song appropriate anymore? Did some political correctness person...
I haven't heard, but I do know that people from Louisiana are a lot of fun.
Yeah. You never know. I mean, my gosh, it's scary out there. Welcome back. They'll find harm with anything,
a
song. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show at your service. Uncle Milty is with me. 888-673-1450. Tell me about this 9-year-old, because I do. I want to talk about this.
Well, let me first say, a couple weeks ago we did a big show about food.
Uh-huh. You can find that
hunger.
On the podcast.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's on the podcast. Yeah. Great show about the hunger situation in our country.
Yeah, we're not starving. We'll put it that way.
No, not hardly.
Mm-hmm.
So the big news today is that a 9-year-old boy in California used his allowance money
mm-hmm.
to pay off the school lunch debts for his entire third grade class. It was supposed to be done anonymously, but somehow the story leaked out.
Somehow?
Somehow.
Mm.
But so the young man Found out, had his mother find out how much it would cost. It was like $74.50 to pay off all the student lunches for his third grade class that were on the books. Now, nobody had gone right. hungry.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't solving a hunger issue. He doesn't even know if they owed money because they couldn't afford to
right.
pay for their lunch, or if their parents just forgot to give them the lunch money a couple
mm-hmm.
days.
Mm-hmm.
None of that matters. It doesn't. Nothing was altruistic about it. There was no mention of Christianity or
mm-hmm.
God or helping people other than I'm going to pay off their lunch debt.
Yeah.
And he's a big hero for that.
Okay. So maybe the intention of this little boy was to say, I want to do something for somebody else.
Yes.
Okay. And I love
nice.
That. Don't you love that when
I
your
do.
Kids are thinking like that and they want to help people? And I'm all okay with that. That's fine. The intention of this kid. Now, I don't know too many kids that would go there, so I'm going to guess that he had some prodding from his parents. Because that usually isn't... Oh, that's because the kids think free lunch. They actually think free reduced lunch because the school's giving it, not even the government, the school, right? And so that wouldn't be something that the kids, I think, would naturally think at that age to go, oh, I'm going to mm-hmm. pay off this debt, because they don't look at it like a debt. So that had to have come from the
right.
parents. Okay.
Well, there's another issue that mm-hmm. I find
uh-huh.
is that how, you know, a lot of parents give their kids an allowance.
Right.
So how did he really work for this money? Did he earn this money? Was he uh-huh. really sacrificing something? Or was it, oh, well, Mom and Dad, you give me $10 a week. I'm going to give 7 weeks worth of mm-hmm. it to pay off this debt.
Right.
So I would like to know the answer to that before
right.
I make him out to be a real hero.
Okay. And so I think it's the teaching of kind. When I saw that ad on Gap on their front page, and
mm-hmm.
it has this lesbian couple with a transgender girl/boy now, and the shirt had Be Kind on it, as if this couple was teaching their boy to be kind. And sometimes that kind of trumps everything else. Don't teach your kid. Nothing else matters except for just kindness. But I actually argue with that a lot of other things matter too. Now, if you think I'm going too far with that, because it was just on his t-shirt, I've seen a lot of t-shirts lately with those messages. We've talked about
yeah.
it on the show, that there's kind of this movement, and it's just be nice, just be kind. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Kindness and niceness is great. Don't you love it when your kids are kind or nice to people? Of course we do. But are we blowing it out of proportion? Has it become the new mantra over everything else? And that it's, if you point that out, now you're the puppy kicker for pointing it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just a darn old puppy kicker, you mean, mean person for pointing out the jumping the shark moment. But how do you teach your kids to serve in that? Because to me, this was... If I was going to think about this story, the first thing I would think about is the parents were trying to kind of put an ideology and sort of this mm-hmm. this thinking on this 9-year-old to get this 9-year-old to think this is how you can serve. And I see an issue with that. I don't see an issue with the intention of a 9-year-old to want to help somebody.
No.
But how do you teach your kids the jump the shark movement and this ideology? Because honestly, we've done shows on free lunch, and free lunch over the summertime right
mm-hmm.
now is huge in America. They're feeding
mm-hmm.
even adults at those
yeah.
those student lunches. It's that has jumped the shark. That has been just insane how much we're feeding America in a time when we have the lowest unemployment, in a time when our economy is actually doing pretty well. We jumped, what, how many millions of lunches from last year to this year? It's crazy how we're feeding America through student lunch.
Yeah, and so what are they really telling this young man?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing that you gave away money you probably didn't earn
mm-hmm.
to help
maybe.
Somebody you didn't even know needed it, maybe.
To a
you
cause know? That should have been explained so much better. That
yes.
could have been explained to working against the liberty of America, in that you are taking money from somebody and giving it to somebody else. And really and truly, that's what just occurred too. they're already taking money out of hardworking and especially out of his parents' pockets to pay for those lunch. So the parents give money to the kid, and the kid is paying that exact same money to go and pay that money back to the lunch program. Doesn't make sense at all, does it?
No, and you know the comments.
I wish that could have been explained.
The comments that people made on this article were kind of interesting. The very first comment was, "What a kind gesture."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sure, because it usually ends there. And if you say anything else, you're mean.
Then you're done.
Yeah, you're mean.
The next one was, "Leave it up to a 9-year-old student to fix what the state and taxes should be taking care of."
Mm, okay.
"Great nation we live in where school kids have to pick up the other school kids' bills."
Yeah.
No. But then the next comment was, of course, "It's not the responsibility of the state or children to feed other people's children." You know, these people... If they're that destitute, they're probably on food stamps. They couldn't fix a tuna sandwich for their kid on the way to school.
Well, I've driven by school lunch programs, and I see a lot of brand new SUVs in the parking lot, and it's open to anyone. And that really is a huge brainwashing problem for being okay with socialism in America, because it might feed a few kids. Well, it's not just a few. It's a huge amount of the millions that go to public school. And it's kind of like the old sign at the zoo. You feed them, you create a dependency. Mm-hmm. And so now they're extending that. They have extended this for quite a long time to the summer. And pretty soon, I guarantee you, because they actually wanted to introduce this in New York sometime back, was dinner at the school. They already have breakfast at the school. 3 meals? What do they go home for? I'm just curious. What do they go home for? To sleep? I guess that's the role of parenting now. Because they're feeding you, they're educating you, quote unquote. They're doing all of that. And there's a huge problem with that. And you're right that a lot of people would say, well, that's kind. And they're talking about the intentions of a kid that just wants to be nice. I'm not tearing that to pieces at all.
No.
I'm tearing apart the how brainwashing happens and how it is given from parents to children. And then the children feel like, I'm doing this great thing. What would even be a better thing is if that kid spoke out about the non-necessity of student lunch and that the government should never be doing that. If you're going to go feed a kid who's actually starving, which I fail to see too many kids actually starving in America, then go to the nonprofits and churches. The public education system is not supposed to feed everybody. So then that would be a good thing and a good lesson and full of good intention and everything else. But I'm not trying to rob the kid of his intention, but geez Louise, we have a problem.
But another good comment was this.
What's
Thank
that?
You for exemplifying everything that's wrong with this country.
Well,
and in the background, that really is.
It is. We're not seeing it because you don't want to be the guy that says that some kid over here that didn't get lunch needs lunch. You know, the other thing somebody could do would be to go to school and share a lunch with somebody that doesn't have a lunch.
Yeah.
There are very few of them, but somebody share a lunch. Make that need known. Parents could kick it in, but it never should be the government doing it.
No.
That's where we go wrong. And so to put a Band-Aid on this open flesh wound that runs north to south the entire body, putting a little Band-Aid on the wrist, isn't going to help anybody. And that kid didn't learn anything. He learned that his kindness was good, but there was a great lesson to be learned here.
Yes.
And that was totally gone.
Absolutely.
And I really do think the parents drove that kid to do that, because that is not something a 9-year-old would go, oh, let me pay the debt of the kids' lunches. No, they think that comes from the school. They don't even understand it even comes from the government. It's never explained to them. Right?
Right.
Right. So I would love those lessons to be learned. Wouldn't that be refreshing if they could be learned? The government programs that even substantiated that was even based on, by the way, were a total lie, because when those programs were introduced and started really getting introduced, we did not have starvation in this country. We didn't have major poverty going on in this country. We had some bad parental choices. I'll give you that. We have parents that aren't good parents. But we didn't have where kids were literally dying by the millions on the street before student lunch came along. And I agree, every kid should have a great lunch, but you don't have a civil right to a great lunch. And also, parents need to step up and make better decisions, not ask for the government to come in to rescue them from their bad decisions. And so all that did was that. It rescued the parents from having to be responsible for their children. And that's what created that problem. But that whole problem was conceived and legislated upon because of a problem that we actually didn't have in our nation at the time. But how do you get your nation to be excited about socialism if you don't have people that you have to share with? If you don't have people that you that have this huge crisis going on in order to take your income and want to share it with everybody in order to make everything so-called fair, you can't get a nation to do that if the nation's doing pretty well. So you invent a problem and then you go to seek to solve it.
So this neighborhood in Fresno has a median income of $554,000 a year.
Whoa. Whoa.
That kind of sums it all up.
Yeah. Boy, that added to that conversation, didn't it? Man, what a great teaching lesson that could have been. See, we don't teach liberty. We don't even teach how to get there. We don't even teach what binds us and what brainwashing puts us into socialism and loving the let me ask you this. How many people today, even listening, went to go take advantage of the student free lunch? And like I said the other day, it should be retitled to taxpayer funded lunch. Then it would at least be honesty in advertising.
Yes.
But see how many people go and then get back into their nice little cute SUV with all their kids because, hey, it's free. Take advantage of it.
But it's not
free. And that boy, missed a great teaching moment for that kid. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Recovering from it.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Back on all the crap I learned in high school. It's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the
Kate Daly Show. Can't believe the show goes so quick. You have no idea.
Yep.
When I talked about the Be Nice movement, I want to talk about a couple of other things going on right now in that same sort of mode of it's be nice at all costs. That's the only thing that matters. That's it. And you just have to be nice. Even if it goes against what you believe, obviously you're learning a, not a very good lesson on liberty. It doesn't matter. It's just be nice. The problem with just be nice is, and I know a lot of people out there go, but being nice is being nice. How can you be against that? I'm not. I only want to talk about it in the context of what place it has. But there are other things too. And in the event of teaching about kindness is the only thing that matters, and it actually trumps everything else, then I have a huge issue with it. And I have a huge issue with it because what is the whole case revolving around the cake baker in Colorado, right? The one that was forced to make the cake. And they're going after him a third time, which we're going to talk about because they can't. They're so relentless in their pursuit to just annihilate him. He was trying to stand up for his beliefs and his personal freedom. He said he would make them anything, but he couldn't make them the wedding cake. Was it a lesbian couple? I'm pretty sure it was a lesbian couple.
A gay couple.
Anyway, he wouldn't make them the cake because it violated his beliefs. He was standing for something. And a lot of people out there went, just be nice and make the cake. Just be nice. And if you'll notice, T-shirts. If you go into any big department store right now, the big, huge saying on T-shirts is just all about just be nice. That's it. But there's a reason for that. It's because that's supposed to trump everything. That's my point. And so that becomes a problem. And let's talk about this cake baker again for the third time. They could have found anyone else. There's 99 other shops in Denver that make cakes for the LGBT, but for some reason they turned this into discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Not standing for something. You're not being nice to somebody. You're discriminating against them. Even though you're standing for yourself, you're against them, which makes it so that the discrimination, right, in place puts their rights above the cake baker's rights. And we've talked about this ad nauseum ever since this case first came on the scene, right? Now it's a third time?
Yeah. At this time, it's the same person who sued the second time. They're going after him again.
Right.
The Autumn Scardina is the who happens to be a transgender woman.
Right.
the second time, she requested that he make a cake to celebrate Satan's birthday with a large figure of Satan and using a
sexual device.
A sexual device.
Mm-hmm.
And she requested it be an actual functioning device.
Right.
That so, would... of course, he refused that. She admits to worshiping Satan and goes to a Christian, known Christian baker, and he refused. So she sued him for that. Now she's after it again.
Round three.
The new lawsuit is really just rehashing old claims.
It is, yeah.
It looks like just another desperate attempt to harass Jack Phillips. It stumbles over the one detail.
What's that?
He serves everyone. He just doesn't make these custom cakes that are against his principles.
Right.
He doesn't refuse to serve homosexuals. He doesn't refuse to serve transgenders. He's not going to make a Satan cake for you.
Oh, they are trying to make an example out of him.
Yeah, and as if, you know, I grew up at a time when almost every place of business had a sign in the window that said, "We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone."
Yeah.
And none of those people got accused of discrimination.
No, that's not nice anymore. You can't put a sign like that. It's not nice. And so why aren't these people going after a Muslim bakery? They refuse to make gay wedding cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Why not a Muslim bakery? Why a Christian?
Because he's white.
Ah. Well, he needs to go to that yoga class.
Yeah, get rid of that whiteness.
Yeah, whiteness be gone. Yoga class they're offering in Seattle. Unload your whiteness class. So this is, if you think about it, could you walk into a kosher deli and order a bacon omelet?
Not likely.
Are people going to sue? Are we going to sue over that? You know why we don't? Because we're not a politicized, agendized group. Do you know we actually kind of revere the fact that I could walk into a kosher deli and know what I'm getting? And if I don't want what they're serving, I actually go somewhere else?
There you go.
And most Americans treat it like that. And we understand that. And we give each other our space to have the kind of business that we want to have. And that I know that if they won't make me something I want, I can go down the street. This is exactly why we always talk about how agendized and politicized this group is, because they're trying to make him an example for the third time now on how he's not being nice enough. And the discrimination laws are all couched in the word nice. It's all done in the word nice. And they push niceness out there so that basically they can say, you're not nice. And boy, we don't want to be called not nice, right? And how dare we not be nice to people? And this is exactly why you don't see those signs anymore. They're not nice.
That's it.
That's why a lot of things are being done with this sort of movement. So they stand behind this ridiculous niceness at all cost. If somebody wants to stand behind their beliefs, do it. Don't cave because somebody's telling you you're not nice. So they're having to go through this another time. There's even a Purple Union website. It lists 65 LGBT friendly wedding vendors in Colorado. They know that. They don't care. They don't care. Everybody must bow
everyone
to what they want. And it doesn't matter what religion. They won't go after the Muslims, though, curiously enough. But they want everyone to bow to niceness based on what they want under their agenda. And you're right. every business should be able to put up a sign like that. Yeah. Our rights are your rights are your rights. And if you're that mean of a business, people will walk in with their dollars or they won't. And that is the only consequence that you get for not delivering a business that's very nice. It should just be somebody doesn't pay you for your service. They don't want your business. Your business goes downhill. Maybe you kind of self-police yourself to maybe do better in business or offer a product that's nicer or better. But that's up to you, the owner. That's your responsibility, your right. It isn't the right of the government to come in and tell you who you have to serve.
Is it still okay for a business to say no shoes, no shirt, no service?
That's not nice. Just how dare you? How dare you, Uncle Milty? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Is it nice to confuse a child about sexuality that they have no comprehension of at the time?
Nope. Don't think it's nice at all. I think it's actually pretty awful. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Great point. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello there.
Hi there.
I'm blind, and my wife uses crutches. She has CP.
Right.
We were asked to leave a restaurant because of liability issues.
What?
We did.
Wow.
But we told everybody in the neighborhood what happened, and they're no longer in business. The marketplace worked.
Yeah, and the marketplace does work. I mean, if somebody is actually going to be mean, people will spread the word. Thank you for that. People will spread the word. But when the government comes in to tell you whether you can be labeled nice or not, now we have a huge problem.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going on with this. When they say militant LGBT activists, they're right. They're right. Do you see people going into the kosher deli? Do you see the kosher deli get annihilated three times and costing their business because somebody might not want what they offer in a kosher deli? You won't see that ever on the headlines. And so this group, though, it wouldn't surprise me if they went after a group like that. This group is just synonymous with we're going to get our way regardless, and we're going to show you, and you're going to do what we want you to do. They shouldn't really care. Most Americans don't. But this group is kind of hell-bent on it.
It's a wonder.
Yeah, I know. We've been talking about this. This came out in 2012, so right after I started doing the show. That's what surprises me. It's gone on this long. Can you imagine? It reminds me of when Skousen was talking about the guy that ended up taking the federal arm to court because they wanted to inspect his business. And it cost him a lot of money. And what he got in return was, it ended up throughout the court system where the judges said, well, yeah, this federal arm doesn't have the right just to come in and annihilate your Fourth Amendment. So it turned out where they didn't get the inspection, but he had to go to bat and he had to put out money personally and he had to pay for this. And it was excruciating and it was hard, but it was for the principal. And so I think there's so many people out there that don't even know the principle to even fight for, to even get to the point where you'd actually put up the money like this guy and say, no, I am not going to be forced to do this. This is against my principles. And they've had to pay a big price for it. And I wonder how many of us would be willing to pay the same kind of price for that, too.
Exactly.
I mean, it is. It's a big price.
Yep.
And people all along the way have done it. But what I sensed when you brought up that 9-year-old story was as that kid paying the school lunches off for the rest of the third grade was not taught any principle, was not taught any about liberty at all. And just thereby almost increasing what socialism is and even aiding and abetting it. Now he did it out of his own money, but that was money given to him by his parents, yada, yada, yada. But there again, are we handing the right principles down to where your kid 20 years from now would actually pay this kind of money in legal fees to stand for something against the principle of liberty? That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many people would do it now? Not too many. I don't think you could find too many.
Well, I think that's what's starting to happen, though. I think more and more people are starting to say, I'm not going to be afraid anymore.
Mm.
I'm going to speak out.
Right, right.
And it's important. And the more that do, the easier it will get.
That's true. That is true. Very, very true. We do have an opportunity to respect each other. And these militant groups, I don't see a lot of respect. They demand it. They demand it when they want it, but they don't give it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's That is truly a downfall, isn't it? That we're so afraid. We're so afraid to counteract that. It's really sad, actually. It is, and we don't have time to go into the Oberlin College one, but maybe I'll hit there this week, though, because that was a big one too.
Mm-hmm.
Like this class that we alluded to the last hour, the Whiteness Gone class, the Unload Your Whiteness yoga class. With these kinds of little things springing up and the messages they send, what are our kids seeing? What are our grandkids seeing? What kind of messages are they? Are they exuding and not questioning, you know? Because like we said in the beginning of this hour, it's done in niceness. So in niceness and fairness for all, we were just supposed to be a country that was a respecter of persons, but you get to choose also, you know? What happened to that?
I think children have a sense that there are things that just aren't really right. Though.
That don't seem right.
This doesn't seem right.
Man, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. But that is really going to go back to what are we teaching in the home? Because as public education skews to the globalist point of view and the globalist mantra, it's going to be very, very hard to turn that boat around. I even hear kids talking about it in a way that just echoes what they're hearing in class.
Yes.
And you can't, it's very hard to counteract that. That's why if you have the opportunity to homeschool young, I would do it. I would definitely do it. I see a lot of kids coming out of homeschooling that really love to read, love to think, are taught to be critical thinkers. And there's a lot of different tools too that can help them on that. But my hope is that 9-year-old actually will someday learn what true liberty is about. The one that was, I think, told by his parents to go and, wouldn't this be a great idea, to go and pay off the taxpayer-funded lunch for the rest of the third graders. Intention to be kind is a great thing. And I never want to speak badly about that, because don't we all want to be nice to each other?
Of course.
But I don't want to have to do it at a cost. A cost to my personal values, or a cost to what I believe in. And truly what I believe in are the commandments. And what do those commandments say? You know, love one another.
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
Yeah.
But it didn't mean that you love one another at the cost of everything else. So we have to watch how those movements kind of take hold and what they're actually teaching too. And that was a great opportunity to kind of talk about this. Be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow. Missing kids, 53 million missing kids in the United States. Where are they going? What's going on with CPS? Tomorrow.
Ooh.
Tomorrow. Yeah, we'll talk about that probably. Anyway, everybody have a great evening.